I don't speak Igbo language fluently.
Afam Bogini Kachita Silvi. And I'm a Igbo Fuma.
I suck at it. I feel that my Igbo language crossed well as in secondary school.
The term language is defined simply as the system of words or sign that people use to express thoughts and feelings to each other. In a country like Nigeria, with over 525 indigenous languages and a fast-growing digital and social media age, with the world now a digital village, the use of indigenous language as a means of communication has somewhat started going extinct. Can you speak your indigenous language? Hello, my name is Lilian Ogazi, and this is The Bearing coming to you from Daily Trust Online. On The Bearing, we are going to be doing a four-part series on the extinction of languages in Nigeria. In this episode, we will be looking at the Igbo language and its possible extinction. Language is power. Language is a means of cultural preservation. It is beyond communication. It symbolizes identity. The Igbo, who today occupy the southeastern region of Nigeria, are the speakers of the Igbo language. According to Chinua Achebe, among the Igbo, the art of conversation is regarded very highly, and proverbs are like the palm oil with which words are eaten. Traditionally, the Igbo man is known for his pride in his language and cultural heritage. But how many can today boast of having knowledge of their language? How many Igbos of this day can proudly and fluently speak the Igbo language or even write it? Are our indigenous languages going extinct? The Igbo language is a unifying factor of the Igbo culture and has proved an efficient and useful tool for the dissemination of the Igbo culture from generation to generation. It, however, looks like this dissemination and transmission of culture and language took a break somewhere in the middle, as this pride of language has gradually started to slip away among the Igbo people, especially the younger generation. According to IU Nwadike, the greatest problem that has faced Igbo of all times are the apathy of the Igbo man towards his language. How true is this? And whose fault is it? I had a chat with some young Igbo-speaking people within the age range of 25 to 35 years, and I asked them if they could speak their language. And this is what they had to say.
My name is Uzoma. I don't speak Igbo language fluently. I do understand, but I don't speak fluently. I can't hold a conversation in Igbo language. And I actually learned few of them when I was during my university days. In fact, that was in my third year, I think. I had to tell my friends to only speak with Igbo in the one we talk, so that way I could learn a few things. And that was how I was able to learn the ones that I learned. The reason is because growing up, my parents didn't want us to speak any other language besides English. So the Igbo language I know today is the ones I learned from university days. I really wish I can speak fluently, because a lot of times I meet my fellow Igbos. They talk to me, try to communicate with me in Igbo, and I respond with English. Then sometimes I try to also speak in Igbo. And I really wish that I can do that. My parents now, my dad actually regrets that action because he wishes that his children can speak fluent Igbo. We, as the younger ones growing up, getting married, raising families and kids, we should encourage kids to understand our language because it's our tradition and it's who we are. It's important, it's very important, especially in gatherings, you know. You have to represent who you are.
Afambo Chiamaka Nwafo. My name is Chiamaka Nwafo. Yes, I know how to speak my language. Environment mostly, you know, growing up with family. I grew up in Lagos, but in my house, you visit grandma, at, you know, in the East for maybe holidays. She tends to speak the language, and then everybody around you tends to speak the language. So, you know, environment mostly, you know, of course, hearing your family members, relatives speak the language too to you helps. I would not say it's a case of environment because there are other languages that there's a particular tribe that even when the families live in the UK, they speak the language fluently. It has absolutely nothing to do with environment. I think it has mostly to do with your family, you know, your parents.
My name is Somto Chukwu Iloduba. Well, unfortunately, I cannot speak the Igbo language, even though I am Igbo. And I partially blame that on my parents. I would say 50% on my parents for not teaching me the language when I was a kid, and 50% on myself for also not learning when I became an adult. And if I grew up in an Igbo land, I definitely would have been able to understand the language. I would have definitely learned the language. Another thing is, I intend on teaching my kids the language, and I intend on doing that through the help of my wife. She will be the one to teach them because she's also Igbo and she can speak and understands the language perfectly.
My name is Chinelo. I'm not so fluent with speaking Igbo, but I could actually hear. I would say I learned from family, but you know, my parents tend to, like, you know, speak Igbo, but not all the time and all that. So the little we could actually grab, yes, we were able to. Schooling in the East, my junior secondary school, because I schooled in Federal Government College of Owerri, so I think that also helped.
My name is Elagu Jennifer. I'm an events planner in Lagos. Can I speak Igbo? Okay, I can, although not so fluently. If I'm to rate it on a scale of 10, probably I'll say 5, but I understand the Igbo language quite well. So would I say is my parents' fault or the fact I was born in Lagos? Well, to some extent, I think it's their fault, because while growing up, they hardly communicated with us with the Igbo language. It was more of English. And also going to school and my neighborhood, we were all communicating in English. You hardly see children communicating in their dialect. But probably if, maybe while growing up, they had stuck with speaking Igbo with us in the house, made it compulsory for us to speak the Igbo language in the house amongst ourselves, maybe it would have helped us better.
My name actually is Njoku Ozioma Jesse. I reside in Imo State and I'm from Imo State. I do not know how to speak Igbo fluently because I was born in the north. To be specific, I was born in Bauchi State, you get, and I stayed there for 11 years, you get. Why staying in Bauchi State? I will tell you, yes, although I hailed from a family where my parents speak Igbo, but I also know that learning starts from the family, but learning still spreads out to the society, you understand, to your schools. Although my parents were speaking Igbo to us, I didn't really grasp it. I spent much time with my peers. I would say the society where I found myself is to be blamed for me not being able to speak Igbo fluently.
Afam bugini ka chita silvi. Ana masu Igbo fuma. Amutara mita nija asu Igbo from my parents. You know, even though I wasn't so fluent at the time, but I would say that my tertiary institution, which happened in Imo State, helped me a great deal. to understand and speak the dialect as fluent. But, you know, Ihanyu, one of the challenges we have, you know, our indigenous language is that asusanya de konu, like it's, we don't have a general Igbo, and we have a general Igbo, but every family will usually teach their children how to speak their own dialect. Now, when a child understands dialect, which is different from the next person's dialect, it becomes difficult to adjust.
Those were some young Igbo-speaking Nigerians speaking with us. Now, for those who cannot speak their language, how do they intend to pass the mantle of identity and culture to their offspring? Like I asked earlier, whose fault is it? Ngozika Stephanie seems to have broken the tide. Ngozika, who was raised in Orlando, Florida, United States of America, not only speaks the Igbo language, but writes it as well. Was this as a result of personal interest?
Yes, I can speak my own language. And how I learned it was growing up, my parents would speak it. At the very least, even though I could not speak, I understood what they were saying. So when I came home for secondary school, I did my senior secondary school back in Nigeria. That's how I kind of picked up very well, considering I lived in Igbo land as well. I went to school in Igbo land. My classmates from, you know, slangs, connotations and things like that, and even coming home on holidays was where I really picked up my language, was when I came back home. You know, I could say one or two things, broken Igbo, I would say, where I mixed it with English, even sometimes in Pidgin, before I came home for senior secondary. But I think it solidified once I came home for secondary school. I can speak well. When I was younger, I did not really think it was important. It was when I got older, that's when I realized the significance of, you know, learning my own language, and it wasn't going to take anything from me. What is my take on Igbos that were raised and brought up in Nigeria and cannot speak Igbo? It's surprising. I have a few of my cousins that are like that. To me, it's like, what is your excuse? You know, some people are like, oh, I was born and raised in Lagos. I feel like that is not an excuse. So some blame their parents as well, and some regret it, and some just don't care. So I just think it's dependent on the personality of each individual.
That was Ngozika Stephanie, an Igbo speaker who was raised in the United States of America. So whose fault is it that we have children who cannot speak or communicate in their indigenous languages? Let us speak with some parents on the role they play when it comes to teaching their children their indigenous language.
My name is Miskelechi Eke.
Okay, ma'am. You're a mom of how many kids?
4 kids.
And do you speak Igbo with your children?
Not often.
How old is the oldest and how fluent are they with Igbo?
The oldest is 11 years.
Can he speak Igbo? Does he understand Igbo?
Few, but he's improving now that he's in secondary school because they are teaching them Igbo language.
In a secondary school in Abuja?
Yes.
The school is teaching them Igbo language?
They have the Igbo outside Yoruba class.
Okay, and he picked Igbo willingly, or you encouraged him to pick Igbo?
He picked Igbo willingly. I was not the one that encouraged.
So why do you speak Igbo with them at home?
Because that is my language, so they have to know it. Because there are some places that I will be with them, I will not want somebody to hear what we are discussing. So I have to use the our language to talk to them.
Why is it so important to learn the language?
It's very, very important to know your dialect. At least with that, wherever you are, you can be able to interact with your language speaking people around here.
Chief Olufoji Akon, I have 7.
And how many of them can speak the Igbo language?
All of them.
Did you teach them?
Yes, from the beginning, from the cradle. For those abroad living in urban cities. But in the village, the people still speak Igbo.
Full time.
It's taught by our elite who feel that they are educated and all that. And sometimes from the beginning, they start speaking English to their children. They take pride in it that their children can't speak Igbo. But they don't know that it's a shame. I'm not involved. All my children speak Igbo.
My name is Mrs. Ezima Onamba, mother of 2 lovely boys. They are 7 years. I started very early. Right from the onset, I made a decision because that was how I was brought up. I made a decision to be that I will be their Igbo teacher. While in school, they learn English language. With that, everywhere they go, they can be able to interact in their native dialects.
I'm Chief Emmanuel Lumenze.
Yes, so how many children do you have, Chief Lumenze?
I have 3 of you.
And how many of them can speak the Igbo language?
Only one.
Is it because you didn't teach them, or is it because they had no interest in learning?
I think their exposure in the urban center made them to not to concentrate in learning Igbo language, the interaction. And in the case of mixed parenthood, your mother is from here, and then from the other way, it becomes an issue as well. Yeah, mixed marriages contribute to it.
Okay, so what effort are you putting? Because looking at it now, if your kids, two of your kids, cannot speak Igbo language, it's a clear definition that they might most likely marry someone who can't, and their children might not be able to. Hence, that language is extinct in that line. So what plans do you have to teach them how to?
You see, well, I can understand very well that I'm afraid if I allow it to continue the way it is now, that means when they marry tomorrow, the same trend will continue. And that will bring about the extinction of the language, like you're saying. But I think I'm looking at employing Igbo teacher, possibly all year round, to continue to teach them from the first principles of Igbo language.
Okay.
And then let me see. Right now, I have started teaching, you know, talking to them in Igbo language. My son understands but cannot speak, which is it's a big challenge to me. I speak to me in Igbo language. He picks up, he knows, but he cannot speak. But their sister does not at all. He doesn't even have the interest. Even when I try to send her to university in the East.
Would you say you are partly to blame for this?
No, I would say, definitely I would take the blame. From the onset, if I did what I should do, of course, my sister doesn't have the interest to speak the language. And she picked up.
Michael Onyebuchi and I have two kids.
Okay, Mr. Michael, do you speak Igbo with your children?
Yes, I do.
How old are they and how fluent are they in Igbo language? Can they speak it?
They are 6 and 4.
Wow. How fluent are they with the language?
They understand the language, but they are not fluent when it comes to speaking.
So do you have plans on teaching them how to speak the language?
Yes, I do. For example, me, in fact, my wife and I have actually decided that anytime we are discussing in the house, we are going to use Igbo language.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
And also, we decided that we are going to be taking them home to their grandparents so that they will stay with them. Those ones will never speak English to them, so they will speak Igbo. So at least when they see them often, and they know that the children, too, are always there with them, they, too, will also pay attention. And they want to learn.
Those are some parents who shared with us the role they've played in the lives of their children in terms of teaching them the Igbo language. You are listening to The Bearing, coming to you from Daily Trust Online. You can listen to or download this episode on Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio by searching for The Bearing. We'll be going on a short break. When we get back, we would look at what the Igbo language can do for the Igbo man. Welcome back. This is The Bearing coming to you from Daily Trust Online. You can listen in or download this and other episodes on Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and Spotify by simply searching for The Bearing. In this episode, we're talking about the threat of extinction faced by the Igbo language. Before we went on a break, we spoke with some Igbo youth on their ability to speak their local dialect. We also spoke with some parents on the role they play in the possible extinction of the Igbo language. Now, aside the preservation of culture and building identity, what exactly do I stand to gain if I learn the Igbo language? Why is it so important? Mazi Ogbonnaya, who is an Igbo translator, teacher, author, and many more, tells us what Igbo language has done for him and why he chose to study the Igbo language.
That is the caption they always give it. Where do you think this thing will take you to? You are wasting your time. You are a young man. You should have gone for something like law, medicine, and all that. And you are going for a Igbo language that will not take you anywhere. So it was a challenge, and I wanted to prove them wrong. I decided to do that by writing. I wanted to put my thoughts into writing. And I decided to write Igbo. Of course, I could have, you know, written all my books in English. But I said, no, charity begins at home. And I want to correct some anomalies that Igbo will take you nowhere. So I started writing, and I decided to take myself to school. Okay, let me try myself. So when I go to Nsukka, University of Nigeria, so I studied Igbo language and linguistics. I must make an impact here. I started looking for publishers to publish my book. I even had to borrow and make sure I published my first manuscript. When I published the book, I started going from school to school. They were all rejected. Not until a professor read the book. The book was interesting to him. It was like, okay, this book is nice. Let me recommend it for third year students. And then I was still in first year. Third year students were using my book, Igbo book, to write exam. And I wonder, let you read it. What made prof to recommend this book? Let me read it and find out. She read it. I said, wow, this is interesting. She approved it for second year students. So when I got to second year, I read, used the book to write the exam. It's master exam that time. You know, it was like film. And when I got to final year, I published about 5 books at the same time when I was in final year. So some of them were approved for master's and PhD students offering Igbo literature in my department. I was still an undergraduate. So by that time, I started pushing for my works to be approved by ministries of education in the Southeast. I started working, meeting commissioners of education, writing letters, you know, going all the work. And before you know what is going on, they started approving my books after reviewing them and found them worthy. In Enugu State, Ebonyi State, Anambra State, Imo State, Abia State, they use my book for junior work. And the most college of education in Southeast and also universities started using the book for our exam. For instance, Federal College of Education in Hamufu. So that was how we started. And since then, the journey had begun. And I didn't see myself going back because this is what I believed in. This is what I signed for. Now, I've done a lot of things today. I'm the first BBC Igbo translator. I also worked as a consultant to Mapping Languages Agency France. I also work as a translator for World Health Organization. I also was a translator for a World Bank project. In fact, I don't know how to where to start and where to.
So all these doors opened because of your indigenous language.
Yes, because of that Igbo language that people say it will take you nowhere. I have an online school. I wanted to change the narrative. I want to focus on those Igbo born in overseas. I want to teach them Igbo. So before you know it, I developed a school called Igbo Masters Institute. I now developed my online school. Now, my website called igbotik.net. If you are doing anything Igbo, you are speaking Igbo, people say you are too Igbotik. No problem. Let me use this thing and show you guys that we can also be Igbotik and create something out of it.
UNESCO came out to say that in 2025, the Igbo language will most likely be at the verge of extinction. So what is your take on our attitude towards the Igbo language here in Nigeria?
You know, the attitude of our people towards the Igbo language is a sorry state of apathy. That's how I put it, because we don't value what we have. I think the reason those abroad, they take it so serious because they've traveled. They've seen others. They've seen how people appreciate their culture, who they are. But here in Nigeria, we like to look down on what we have. And the UNESCO prediction, they are very right too. If there's nothing is done. Yeah, in fact, it's facing a serious threat of extinction. We don't value what we have, it will go. People will say, it's not the Igbo that is speaking in the village. It's not about the spoken language, the written one, the literacy. The question is, can you write Igbo? We are the reason for the future of Igbo language. If you want it to survive, it is on our, the fate of the language is on our hands. So if you want it to survive, fine. If you don't want it to go extinction, fine. Mm-hmm. And our parents are the major cause of all these things. I don't want my child to speak Igbo. It will make them to be timid. Who told you that? I think our parents need re-education, because going to school doesn't mean one is educated to some extent. Yeah. Yeah. So we need re-education. You should first appreciate who you are. You should first appreciate your culture. So now, if in the nearest future there is nothing like Igbo language, that means there's nothing like Igbo people, because culture is an identity.
Mm.
And identity is language.
That was Mazi Ogbonnaya, an Igbo genius, as I would love to call him. Amarachi Atama, who is an Igbo enthusiast amongst many others, has achieved so much using her Igbo language. How has that been beneficial to her?
So in my journey working as a cultural and language icon, it has not been easy. Sometimes it becomes funny when you hear people ask you questions like, why should I allow my child to speak our indigenous language? What do they use the languages for? I would say that some of those things that is spoken out of ignorance. Language is the soul of the nation. For instance, in Igbo language, we have something we call Ilu Igbo, which is the proverbs. We have gongwangwam, the idioms, and the rest of it. Our ancestors did not produce those using the English language. When you know that in this language, the wisdom of your ancestors, the science, cultural values, the belief system, is all tied in this language. So it becomes a very key factor that one must allow their children to speak in the language of their fathers and mothers. It is very important because it is your cultural identity. That should be enough. Stop asking why should they, what do we use the language for? It is stupidity to ask such question. Being your cultural identity is enough. You as a parent who speak your language and do not allow your child to speak, I think it is very, very unfair. So what language have done for you? I have a BSc and an MA in mass communication, but I will tell you, advocating for languages, performing in my language, organizing festivals and an event in my language have brought me this far where I am today. For anyone who knows my story, you should go and check Amarachi Atama. You would see how carrying my identity and heritage placed me on a plane to travel the world. Today, I am studying for my second MA in the United States of America. This was after I had returned from a 4 months fellowship with the Royal National Theatre in London, United Kingdom. My very first academic paper was presented in Ghana. It was on language sustainability. And then I went to South Africa to speak on the sustainability of language and as well as perform on the Atelier for Young Festival Managers. So what am I saying in essence? For every visa I've gotten, it is because of language, language project, language speaking, language performance. I cannot quantify what having an art using my language has done for me. I cannot quantify the opportunities it has given me generally. But I would say when I started, it wasn't easy at all. I was mocked, I was jeered at, I was laughed at. People didn't understand why a graduate who already had a master's would be talking language, performing language, dressing in her cultural identity. They couldn't understand that.
That was Amarachi Atama, an Igbo enthusiast. Out of the 3 major languages in the country, studies have shown that the Igbo language is the most endangered and currently under severe threat of extinction. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, has even specified a deadline, saying the language faces the threat of extinction by 2025, if nothing is done to reverse the trend by its speakers. Is the Igbo language truly going extinct? Bilkisu Ahmed puts these questions and more to Dr. Uchenna Oyali, a senior lecturer in the Department of English and Literary Studies at the University of Abuja.
Igbo is not going into extinction. Yes, it is threatened. What I can tell you is that it's not going to die by 2025. There are challenges, a lot of challenges going on, but there are also steps being taken by a lot of people to make it work.
Okay.
So my take is that it's not going to die. It's still there.
Okay. What are your reasons by saying it's not going to die? And what are the challenges? You said there are challenges.
A language dies when there are no speakers, nobody is speaking it as a native language, or when there are no speakers of the language. As it is now, Igbo has a lot of native speakers. In Nigeria, people that speak Igbo as a native language are more than 20 million. A language dies when people stop speaking it, stop using it. Igbo language is still being used, which is why I said it's not going to die. It is still being taught in schools. People are writing in the language. There are radio stations that air their programs in Igbo. There are programs in the telly that are also aired in Igbo. So the language is being put to use. It may not be used to its full potential, which is a fact, but the issue of death, complete death, will not happen. Yeah, it is being used. The challenges, part of the challenges, it's kind of historical. Prior to the Igbo people encounter with the Christian missionaries, the language was enough for them to express themselves, whatever the speakers wanted to say, irrespective of the topic. The Igbo speakers at the time could express themselves comfortably in Igbo. Then the missionaries came, introduced their Western education. Igbo had to be stretched to accommodate all of that. So even the schools that were run in Igbo, the people running the schools had to stop using Igbo and they had to switch to English in order to get government funding.
So what do you think causes language extinction?
Language extinction happens, many things could cause it. One, if all the speakers of the language are killed, wiped out, the language stops existing. Another one would be if you don't teach a language to just one generation, Once a generation doesn't speak the language, then there's a gap. The language dies. And this happens usually when there is some kind of high competition posed by another language, just like we have with English. So you now have what you call language shift, a situation where speakers of a language stop using the language and switch and start using another language. So in domains where we normally would use Igbo, like say in the home environment and all that, you find people using English. You find parents who don't even speak English very well, struggling to speak English to their children.
But why is it like that, sir?
Because they feel that English gives them a better advantage than Igbo. And it's also this issue of prestige. You know, if you speak English, you're, you know, it's kind of more prestigious than Igbo. You meet a little child and you say, Kepano, like, how are you? And the next thing you hear, the parents will be like, yeah, happy, that's super Igbo. Leave her, she doesn't speak Igbo. But despite that, I still insist that there is a lot of, revival going on.
Okay.
I agree. If nothing was done after the prediction, it would have been worse.
Okay.
Like, I belong to a group. It is called Wandibo, means Igbo world. We have a WhatsApp group. We hold conferences. The second annual conference is ongoing, I think, as we speak. And we hold all our activities entirely in Igbo.
Wow,
English is a taboo.
Mm-hmm.
If you speak English in the WhatsApp group, you are removed. There are many homes, like me now in my house, English is a taboo.
Wow.
I insist that whatever English you want to speak, speak it in school, speak it outside the house. Once you step into the house from the entrance, from the door, keep your English and come in with your Igbo. So my kids, I speak Igbo with them. I don't speak English with them.
Okay. And your wife is Igbo also?
My wife is Igbo.
Okay. On that, do you think inter-ethnic marriage can be the cause of Igbo language going extinct? For example, an Igbo man married to a Hausa woman and their children speak only Hausa language because their mom speaks the language to them, but the father speaks only English.
You know, a lot of people think inter-ethnic marriage is actually a negative thing. In my view, if a child has parents of different ethnic groups and that child cannot speak both languages, then those parents are wicked. They have not helped the child. It is said that when children are between the ages 0 to 11, 12, that they acquire language naturally. So it is easier for them to acquire the language. Now, if the father is Igbo or whatever language and the mother is Hausa or whatever language, and both parents insist on speaking their languages, their different languages to the child will master both very well. Chinua Achebe spoke a lot of Igbo before he started writing. You know, some of us started with pidgin before we even started engaging English. And we are still good.
Okay, so what is your final word to Igbo speakers out there, especially those that don't like speaking the language or teaching their children the language?
There's this general attitude of ejiwejebe, as in, where would they take Igbo go? What can we do with the language, you know? What people don't understand is that when they don't use their language, they lose a lot. The identity, one language is used for identity construction, reconstruction. The identity is lost. One, you cannot be English. You can never be English. That's one. And two, there's a lot of knowledge that you get within Igbo that you cannot get in English. We should take pride in our language and seize every opportunity to speak it. And if you're a parent, insist that Igbo be the language of communication, interaction at home.
Oh, Papa! We cannot do it for you, Jim. Oh, God. I'm on your Papa.
That was Dr. Uchenna Oyali, a senior lecturer in the Department of English and Literary Studies at the University of Abuja. Language is an expression of our culture. We cannot have one without the other. We cannot describe our culture if we do not have language. Language is our identity. Let us preserve our identity and our land. God bless Nigeria. This is where we draw the curtain of this episode of The Bearing. Thank you so much for listening. A big thank you to everyone that contributed to make this program successful. The Bearing is a Daily Trust production, and you can download this and other episodes on dailytrust.com and on buzzsprout.com. You can also listen in on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and Google Podcast. The Bearing is a Daily Trust production, and you can download this and other episodes on dailytrust.com and on buzzsprout.com. You could also listen in on Spotify,
TuneIn Radio and Google Podcasts by searching for The Bearing. Remember that it is open for sponsorship and advert placement. So if you intend to sponsor an episode of The Bearing, do contact us via WhatsApp on 0913-893-3390. If you have questions or comments or suggestions of topics you would like us to talk about, let us know on our social media handles on Instagram at @daily_trust and on Facebook at Daily Trust. You can also send us a message via WhatsApp on 0913-893-3390. I am Lilian Ogazi. Thank you for listening and bye for now.